Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, June 24th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Yeah, our top stories this evening.
Police in Harare briefly arrested two men who were part of a group protesting the protracted stay of Vice President Phelekezela Mpoko in a five-star hotel in Harare.
We are here because of the statement which Vice President Phelekezela Mpoko has just issued that he won't leave the hotel.
Britain has made a historic decision to leave the European Union in a referendum. We have the take of Zimbabweans.
I voted for Britain to leave the European Union. Why, if you're outside EU, you are required to have a permit and a visa to come in here? Yet someone from Europe can walk and get that job, despite that we are more qualified than that person.
The MDCT says it will soon be unveiling a new strategy to punish ZANU-PF-linked businesses. We will tell you all about this new game plan in tonight's bulletin.
And in sports news, the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League Championship race enters week 11. We preview the weekend fixtures.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Two people were briefly held by Harare police after a group of angry protesters stormed a five-star Harare hotel, demanding that Vice President Phelekezela Mpoko, who has been staying there for more than a year at taxpayers' expense, to leave his lodgings after incurring a bill of more than $1 million. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Some placard-carrying protesters, drawn from the National Vendors Union, Restoration of Human Rights, and a pressure group calling itself Team Tajamuka, besieged a Harare hotel where Vice President Mpoko has been booked in at the expense of the state since his appointment in 2014. During the protest, the Vice President, who has declared that he will not vacate the hotel, was marooned in his 17th floor hotel room with his family. One of the protesters, Ishmael Kauzani, tells Studio 7 that it was being insensitive for Mpoko to live a luxurious life at the expense of taxpayers when most Zimbabweans were finding it difficult to survive.
We are here because of the statement which Vice President Phelekezela Mpoko has just issued that he won't leave the hotel. So we are saying, as vendors, as citizens of Zimbabwe, taxpayers' money are here. Please, Mr. Mpoko, leave the hotel.
Kauzani's sentiments were echoed by Value Dick Mgagara, who says the money that is being used to settle the Vice President and his family's hotel bills could be put to better use instead of squandering taxpayers' money on luxury.
So these vendors, they are demonstrating, saying that he should go to his 41-bedroom house. And where is this money coming from, which is being paid for his rentals here at the Rainbow Towers? Is coming from the taxes that are being collected from the poor citizens of Zimbabwe.
The demonstrators, who carried placards into the hotel's reception and foyer, scared some guests who ran in different directions as anti-riot police, who arrived in four lorries in no time, shut all the doors and arrested Sten Zorwadza, who leads the National Vendors Union, and another unidentified activist who appeared to be leading today's protest. Other protesters tried to block the main exit of the hotel yard when a truck that Zorwadza and another activist had been bundled into, demanding their immediate release, but they were assaulted by the police, resulting them in running in different directions. Police spent the better part of the day maintaining a heavy presence at the hotel. Police spokesperson Cherry Charamba told Studio 7 by phone that authorities would not allow lawlessness and urged anyone intending to demonstrate to notify the police first. Meanwhile, the MDC, led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, also issued a statement condemning the Deputy President's continued stay in the hotel. the main opposition party, said it was shameful that the vice president is occupying a presidential suite at the hotel at a minimum cost of US$430 per day to the national treasury when Zimbabweans are faced with grinding poverty and the government failing to pay its workers. A local independent newspaper quoted some unnamed government sources this week as saying Vice President Mpoko had refused occupancy of two houses that had been secured for him by the state, saying they were not fit for a person of his stature. One of the houses was said to be worth $3 million, which Mpoko's wife is reportedly saying is not designed to her liking. Studio 7 failed to get a comment from the Vice President, whose mobile phone went unanswered. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Britain has made a historic decision to leave the European Union in a referendum that has stoked passions on issues of immigration and sovereignty and prompted the resignation of Prime Minister David Cameron. Markets across Europe plummeted at opening Friday morning as investors reacted to Britain's vote to leave the Union after more than 42 years. For Zimbabweans both in the UK and those at home, the results of the referendum have solicited mixed feelings. Studio 7's Chris Gande reached a Zimbabwean living in the United Kingdom, Ezra Sibanda, who says he is happy with the results of the referendum.
I voted for Britain to leave the European Union. The reasons being that the free movement between European countries was not benefiting me as an African or as someone coming outside Europe. There is so much immigration coming from East Europe, people flocking to the United Kingdom. It has been problematic of late for people from outside EU to come and get jobs here in the United Kingdom. Because why, if you're outside EU, you are required to have a permit and a visa to come in here? Yet someone from Europe can walk and get that job, despite that we are more qualified than that person. This is the reason I voted Britain out, so that all of us are treated equally in this modern world.
But we have spoken to some Zimbabweans there who say the opposite. Why would you think that they wanted Britain to stay in the EU?
The problem with the Zimbabweans, my fellow Zimbabweans, is that they listened to scaremongering from David Cameron and the people wanted Britain to remain. They don't realize that was not affecting them. This EU referendum was about a free movement. Mostly it's about free movement and economics. But at the moment, Zimbabweans who have got a right of a vote to stay in the United Kingdom, some who are British citizens, they are not affected in any way because they are part of Britain.
That was Ezra Sibanda, a Zimbabwean living in the United Kingdom.
Meanwhile, an economy commentator, Walter Sunguli Mbongolwane, tells Studio 7 the results of the referendum will not in any way be good news for Zimbabwe's targeted sanctions that were imposed on President Mugabe by Britain and the European Union.
Yes, there are potential benefits. You'll remember that the UK, being part of the EU, it was bound by European Union regulations, especially around its recruitment policy and also migration regime. So Britain now, without that encumbrance of the European Union, now it is free to chart its own migration policy, its own employment policies. I think the most possible default position that the UK will take, it will be to go the Commonwealth route and try to promote its Commonwealth agenda and try by all means to embrace the people from the Commonwealth. So this is likely to actually lead to a relaxation of migration policy in the UK.
But do you see any political leverage that Zimbabwe might use, especially President Mugabe?
The European Union still has got its own precedent, its own laws and the ways of dealing with Zimbabwe. They are not going to listen to what Britain wants on Zimbabwe. And also, the British government, in terms of engaging the Zimbabwean government, it's not going to happen anytime soon because the fundamentals of what they wanted in Zimbabwe, they have not changed. We know that there might be an opportunity from Mugabe thinking that now is the time maybe to re-engage the UK. It's not going to happen.
That was Walter Nsunguli Mpongolwani, a political commentator. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Johannesburg, South Africa. The opposition MDCT says it will soon unveil a new strategy to punish ZANU-PF-linked businesses. The party says it will launch what it calls a massive consumer boycott campaign to encourage Zimbabweans to boycott supermarkets, products and businesses linked to ruling ZANU-PF government functionaries. MDCT spokesman Douglas Mwonzora says so far they have identified about 19 companies and some products that are associated with companies and individuals that they are not going to support. Mwonzora, who did not want to reveal the list of the targeted businesses, though he says Gushungo Holdings, a dairy company owned by the First Family, and Choppies Supermarkets owned by Vice President Pelekezela Mpoko are the obvious ones on the list of 19 companies. Mwonzora accused these businesses of corruptly getting government contracts and tenders, which result in the loss of taxpayers' hard-earned money.
We have a plan to have a massive consumer boycott campaign. This is where we are targeting the businesses of those people who are getting their wealth through fraud, subterfuge, and corruption. We have identified some of these. And what we are saying is that the people of Zimbabwe must not buy from those businesses, must not support those businesses, because those businesses are bleeding Zimbabwe dry.
Is this not going to affect ordinary Zimbabweans? Because maybe those products or shops that you want them to boycott are where they can afford to buy from.
This is actually very, very good news, because for the first time, the poor are going to have power over the rich. The rich make their money because of the 5 rand, the $1 that we, the poor people, spend in their shops. When 100 poor people pay 50 cents, it becomes a lot of money. When 100 people pay $1 each, that's $100. These millionaires make their millions out of the poor. For the first time, the poor are going to withhold their little amounts of money, and this is going to affect the businesses.
May you tell us some of the companies and products that you are going to target?
We have identified 19 companies so far, and there's some products that are associated with companies and individuals that we are not going to support. We are going to target. And this target is passive. We are simply not going to buy in their shops. We are not going to do anything. We are not going to loot those shops. We are not going to harass them. We are not going to burn the shops. We are simply staying away from buying from those shops.
That was MDCT Secretary General Douglas Mwonzora on the phone from Harare with Studio 7.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metom Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
one of Zimbabwe's leading musicians, Ja Prazer, will be visiting the United States for the first time, and we also have filmmaker Denise Edwards on our show, Time to Engage.
Stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
7 Indonesian sailors have been abducted at sea in the southern Philippines, the government in Jakarta said Friday. The latest in a recent string of abductions in the waters between the two countries.
The spokesman for the United Nations Department of Peacekeeping Operations said the UN has accepted responsibility for its lack of swift response during the February massacre of internally displaced persons in the South Sudanese city of Malakal.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chione Sojani, your host for Time to Engage, where the voices of Zimbabwe's youth are heard. Today in the studio with me is Denise Edwards, producer of Wedding Diaries.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
What inspired you to produce Wedding Diaries?
For us, we figured, you know, there are successful stories out there. There are people who managed to work through their marriages like years after. And it's not always, you know, doom and gloom. And for us, we like, you know, let's share the stories. Let's get other people to get, you know, a feel of how they managed to go through it. And celebrating love, celebrating marriage, and encouraging people to follow suit.
With what is happening in Zimbabwe out there, do you feel marriages are able to stand through?
I feel like there are a lot of outside factors that affect marriage as a whole. And it's a very difficult time. And they need to understand that they need each other to go through whatever challenges they're faced with. So it is very possible for people to have a successful marriage and work through whatever environment there are in that particular time.
Are you single?
No, I'm not single, but I'm not married either.
You're not married either? Okay, so what would be your ideal husband, if I may ask?
Well, he'd have to be somebody who understands me, my line of work, and my passion. He'd have to be my best friend. Love in itself, if you don't have a friendship to fall back on, it's very easy to walk away from something like that.
What about us who are traditional, who don't do weddings? We just do the lobolas. Is that considered under Wedding Diaries?
Well, actually, it is. Funny enough, we were looking at people who had lobola in terms of having footage or photos and stuff. We didn't get that many people, but it's definitely part of our criteria. Everybody has different sorts of weddings. Not everything is a white wedding, per se.
Apparently, we hear a lot of stories of people who are married, they've had their wedding, the guy goes to diaspora, he doesn't come back. What would be your say on that?
What we did with the show is we have a segment where we have a counselor and gives marriage advice. So for me, I feel like that in ensuring that certain situations are avoided, especially for those who aren't married and are planning to get married, and those who are in bad situations already. I think at the end of the day, we're just trying to create a more positive outlook on marriage itself.
Thank you so much for being with us, Denise.
Thank you for having me.
And that was Denise Edwards, and I am Chione Sojani, your host for Time to Engage.
Thank you, Chioniso.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
35 years after first reports began to appear of a terrible new disease, known to us today as HIV/AIDS, the medical community has made tremendous progress in controlling the disease. Back in the 1980s, a diagnosis of HIV/AIDS was a death sentence. The life expectancy of an infected person was 2 years. Today, with proper treatment, patients live relatively normal lives. And yet, despite enormous advance in treatment, we have not yet been able to eliminate this scourge. What will it take? One of the greatest obstacles is that treatment is not reaching all populations equally. These are populations at greatest risk, yet they are left behind, pushed further into the shadows in the global HIV/AIDS response, said U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator and U.S. Special Representative for Global Health Diplomacy, Deborah Birx. These are the key populations defined by UNAIDS as gay men and other men who have sex with men, transgender persons, sex workers, people who inject drugs, and prisoners. Speaking at the United Nations high-level meeting on ending AIDS, Ambassador Birx said that for these key populations, we must translate words of concern into immediate actions to ensure that specific barriers are addressed. That is why the United States government, through the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, has allocated $100 million to create a Key Populations Investment Fund. It will help to expand access to proven HIV prevention and treatment services for key populations. Among the issues the new fund will address are the lack of acceptance of human rights of all persons, monitoring and mitigation of stigma and discrimination, access to quality services for key populations, collection of data by subgroups of key populations, and improving the capacity of key populations-led, community-based organizations who advocate for change in policies and also directly implement services. It is unacceptable that key populations still face stigma, discrimination, and violence, which impede their ability to access quality HIV services. PEPFAR stands firmly and unequivocally with and for key populations, said Ambassador Birx, and we are deeply committed to protecting and promoting their health and human rights.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
In our sports segment, the Castolaga Premier Soccer League Championship race enters into week 11 with the top four teams breathing heavily on each other's neck. Reporter Michael Cariati previews the weekend's football fixtures.
The four teams at the top of the Castolaga Premier Soccer League table are separated by only 3 points, to the extent that it might not be a surprise that the table might have a new leader come the conclusion of this weekend's fixtures. Highlanders are top of the table with 23 points, with fourth placed FC Platinum on 20 points, but with a game still to play. In between Highlanders and Kugona Kunenge Kudada are Caps United and ZPC Kariba, who are on 21 points. What is interesting is that Highlanders have a date against third place ZPC Kariba at Babafield Stadium, and the team that falls also falls from its position on the league table. Katuruturu have the power of surprise and did the unexpected when they traveled to Mandava Stadium and overcame then leaders FC Platinum. But against a stream rolling Highlanders, sports follower Farai Kambamura thinks that power of surprise is out of bounds.
Highlanders, so far the machine is well oiled, and Highlanders, as far as I'm concerned, they are not an easy team to beat. I think Highlanders will sail through.
Even Dynamo supporter Tinashe Gwasira thinks Highlanders are on a roll, saying looking at what they've done so far should take the 3 points off Sunday Chizambwa's Kariba based side.
Tip Highlanders, man. Highlanders, they play a good competition last weekend, this weekend, so that they made, I think they are the better team to, these are the better team to win.
Highlanders, Saturday, Ngezi Platinum Stars versus Border Strikers, Baobabo. Cholocho Pirates versus Chicken Inn, White City. Harare City versus Dynamos, Rufaro Stadium. FC Platinum versus Triangle, Mandava. Sunday, Highlanders versus ZPC Kariba, Baba Fields. Capes United versus Blairway City, National Sports Stadium. Wange versus Mtare City, the Colliery. For the bottom place teams like Mtare City Rovers and Border Strikers, it is time to start picking up points, or else they will quickly find themselves going back to Division 1 where they came from. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
On the entertainment scene, one of Zimbabwe's popular musicians, Ja Prazer, will be visiting the United States and Canada next month for his maiden shows in both countries, which are expected to be sold out because very few Zimbabwean musicians ever make it to these parts of the world. One of the show organizers, Taurai Mupambirei, popularly known as DJ Tau, says tickets are already on sale and the response has been good so far. Mupambirei says Ja Prazer is expected to bring his band, The Third Generation, with his female dancers led by the energetic Gonyeti, popularly known as Masoja, because of the army fatigue they wear. Mupambirei tells us more on the issue.
Ja Prayzer will be coming to the USA for the first time. This is his maiden tour to the US. He will be touring in Dallas, Texas on the 29th of July. July 30th, he will be in Washington, D.C., and on the 31st, he will be in Indiana. Thereafter, the following weekend, he will be in Canada and Edmonton, playing on the 5th and 6th of August.
And as Ja Prayzer is known for his dancing and also for having a lot of what they call Masoja dancing on stage with him, who is coming alongside Ja Prayzer this time around?
Ja Prayzer will be bringing his band, so the total people we'll be getting is 7, including Ja Prayzer himself. He has male dancers, and he also has 1 female dancer. So we are expecting a fun-filled night.
How long did it take for you to organize for Ja Prayzer to come to the United States, and what prompted you to invite him?
So we started discussing with Ja Prayzer back in February and March. Our discussions were mainly driven by the Zimbabwean community here who were yearning to see Ja Prayzer. As you are aware, he is the hottest artist in Zimbabwe right now. He's won multiple awards. He's a big African singer. He's a rising star. And his videos have been very popular, and social media has just turned him up to big heights.
Here in Washington, where will he be playing, and what arrangements have you made for those that may want to come and join him?
So here in Washington, D.C., he will be playing on the 30th of July. We've booked a venue out in Sterling. It's called The Studio. It's a very professional venue. We have a special arrangement with Double Tree Hotel, which is literally 2 minutes away from the venue. For those that will be coming from out of state and for those who might not want to drive, where we expect Ja Prayzer to come and meet and greet people for those who want to meet him in person before the show. Once we have those details, we'll share them with the fans.
Where can people access the tickets, and how much are they?
Right now, we're selling our tickets. We have physical tickets that are being sold by agents like myself, Haslam in Texas, Fari in Indiana, Slice in Canada, and then once again for Washington, D.C., Virginia, surrounding areas. DJ Tao is the name. I'm selling those tickets. For those who prefer to buy their tickets online, the tickets are being sold on Eventbrite. You can go on Eventbrite and search Ja Prayzer. You'll be able to access all the shows from there. For the D.C. venue or event, we have early bird tickets for $40. Once the early bird tickets run out, we'll be selling advance tickets for $45.
That was Taurai Mupambirei, one of the promoters of the Ja Prayzer show, speaking to us from Boston. Now to recap on today's top stories.
Police in Harare briefly arrested 2 men who were part of a group protesting the protracted stay of Vice President Pelegezela Mpoko in a 5-star hotel.
And the MDCT says it will soon be unveiling a new strategy to punish ZANU-PF-linked businesses. We will tell you all about this.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about corruption in Zimbabwe and Vice President Pelegezela Mpoko's 2-year stay in a 5-star hotel. That's our broadcast this evening. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good weekend.